Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for, I don't even know what the day is. It is June the 9th, 2025, and we're in the Hebraic calendar month. We're in the Hebraic calendar month of Sivan, and we're in the year of 5785. My name is Chaplain Robert Zuluaga. And we have a guest this evening, which is, are you a pastor now, Wade? Wade
actually,
Butler.
you never get rid of your title, so I'm a pastor chaplain. What can
pastor
I tell you?
Pastor chaplain.
Yeah, whatever. I've got
very
a new
good
one. It's going to be, I'm taking Kat Kerr's moniker. It's Revelator.
Revelator, okay.
Yeah, nobody complained. They don't know what I am.
There we go. Revelator. Yeah. Chaplain. Pastor Wade Butler. So we're going to open a word of prayer, and I'll bring Wade on here in just a minute, but I'm going to set up what he's going to talk about with a word from Acts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together this evening. We thank you for your grace which abounds unto us. Thank you, Lord. You are a faithful God. You care about us, care about an intimate relation with each and every one of us in a very specific way. So I ask you to bless those on this call, guide us in what you will impart to us through your spirit, through our sharing. May it edify and encourage and strengthen each of us here this evening. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The calendar this month, if you have not tuned into it, and I see we have different folks on a call this evening than we had last week, the calendar is produced each month, probably for the last 8 or 9 years now, from Chaplain Wade Butler. He gathers a prophecy from around the world, puts it into a hopper, prays over it, allows the Holy Spirit to guide him as to how it speaks to the time and the seasons that we're in the Hebraic calendar. And then you can find it on the Republic website at republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org under the Divine Providence. If you look at the tabs across the top and then scroll down, you'll see my face, a few other things from Steve Luster, and then there's a calendar button. And you click on that and you can download any number of calendars for the last, 8 years?
Yes.
So I just really encourage you all to become familiar with it, as it helps put the pieces together of our Christian walk with where our history is in the Jewish tradition or the Hebraic, tradition of time and seasons. And, it's just a really important journey. I found it very a great blessing to my walk. It doesn't detract from what I know as a again spirit-filled believer, but it really does help put things into context. So Brother Wade is a seer. My Brother Wade is very involved in things on a prayer work on a national level and on a global level. But before I bring him in, I want to talk about, we're going to go to Acts. So I'm going to start in Acts 1, if you have your Bibles open. And Wade has in his prayer team, they go to heaven. He meets with the Lord. And that may blow some of your minds if you haven't got that experience. But I want to set it up from the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we're going to start here this evening. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, in many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. somebody is making noises there. I'm just going to ask you to mute your phone if you are able to. Ted, sorry, sir, I'm going to mute you. So the Holy Spirit was promised, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you are following the calendar, our traditional cycles, the Feast of Pentecost was Sunday. And Feast of Pentecost was on Sunday. And that power of the Holy Spirit, which is promised in Acts 2, was released to all of us. Now, what have I got going here? Wait, is it okay if I mute you just for a second? I'm not sure if I'm getting feedback there through your line.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So, but in the Hebraic calendar, it's a little different. It was the week before. And so firstly, I'm going to read a little here from Acts 2, and then I'm going to go and give a historical perspective, which is in the calendar this month, for you to follow. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because they heard them speak each in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it we hear each of them in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pythagoria, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue and wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever does this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. So something very powerful happened. Jesus promised it. He promised us the Holy Spirit before he ascended up to heaven. And I want to talk about this month of Sivan we're in and the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost is one of the few feasts that the Christian community celebrates with a Hebraic community. God promised us that, or said to us in his word, he wants us to observe certain festivals. And we really don't do that in the Christian church. We believe that, or I don't know what we believe, we're just not taught. Them, to be quite honest. So there's Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there's the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So the month of Sivan and the Feast of Pentecost. While the Jewish community celebrates Shavuot or Shavuot, the Christian community celebrate Pentecost. The word Pentecost is a Greek word meaning 50. this special day is celebrated 50 days after Easter Sunday. In addition, Pentecost commemorates the giving and receiving of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church in the New Testament. And that's referenced as we read in Acts 2. Yeshua directed his disciples to remain in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit came. At the same time, Jews from various countries were arriving to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Think about that. At the time that Jesus rose from the dead, when he came in the promising of the infilling of Pentecost, Jews from everywhere were already doing that. That was like an annual pilgrimage for them. And we in the Christian church don't kind of connect the dots on that. So they came from all over the place. And it's interesting to note that in the New Testament, the Greek-speaking Jews referred to the Feast of Weeks as the harvest, as the Feast of Pentecost. Acts 2 tells the account of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the 120 disciples and other Jewish believers in Acts 2, 1-31. The Holy Spirit convicted the crowd through their teaching, and a harvest of souls, 3,000, were gathered and added to the church on that day. So a couple of other things I want to set here is about the calendar, just for information. Shavuot is known as a Feast of Weeks in English, and Pentecost, and it's known as Pentecost in ancient Greek. Each year, the day will vary according to the Hebrew or Gregorian calendars. In 1584, which was last year, they were the same date. So Easter and Passover fell on the same date. This year, 5785, in 2025, Passover was 8 days prior to Easter. Therefore, Pentecost falls fell on June 1 at 6 p.m. and ended on June 3rd at 6 p.m. at sunset. Remember, the days are the evening and the evening, not morning to morning in the Hebrew calendar. In the Gregorian calendar, eliminates the Hebrew feast, which Jehovah honors on the Hebrew timeline, not in the Greek. So there's a few other things about that, but I want to give one final thing here, and that is, so when was the first Pentecost? Pentecost, the 50th day in the Christian holiday commemorating the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, on the 50th day after the resurrection of Yeshua Christ, the apostles came to speak in many languages and had received other spiritual gifts. The event was foretold by Yeshua before the ascension. It is reported by most scholars as 32 AD. What does AD mean? As most of us know, it means Anno Domini, meaning the year of our Lord, Yeshua Christ. In Christian tradition, Pentecost is a movable feast observed exactly 7 weeks after Easter Day. That is, 50 days after Easter, inclusive, that's 49 plus Easter is 50. It always falls on the seventh Sunday after Easter Day. In Eastern churches, the date of Pentecost is calculated in the same manner, but it usually differs due to the use of the Julian calendar instead of the Gregorian. Pentecost is a holy day of obligation in the Catholic Church. Pentecost is also called Wednesday. Is celebrated on Sunday that falls on the 50th day of Easter. The name is derived from the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50th, as Pentecost Sunday takes place in the 50th day of Easter. There's a lot more about it, and you might go, well, so what, big deal. there's a fascinating teaching. I was at we got together for Pentecost up in Park County, Colorado, with some of the folks in the Republic. And one of the fellows there is a, what do you call it when you were converted to Catholicism? He's a converted Catholic. And he sent me a YouTube, and I'd love to know how to post it on our website, but it talks about all the calendars. This guy on there, since a young age, has been fascinated in calendars. And so he has a great teaching threading together an understanding of the different calendars that there are. And I think it's important because of the rhythm. We get into rhythm with God's cycles. We get into a rhythm that is authentic. So I just wanted to lay that out a little bit for a Pentecost and the calendar before I bring Brother Wade on. And Wade has a couple of very timely things he wants to share with us that come not only from some of his previous work, but I'll let him tell you about it. So, Brother Wade, welcome back. Nice to see you. Wonderful to have you with us. I know you're very busy, so we're blessed to have you this evening.
Well, it's truly a privilege and an honor, and it's so nice to see so many names familiar, you know, that that I love so much. And then you got the new people, with Ted and Patrick and Bessie and Mark. And I just got to say hello to Mark not too long ago, and John Underwood always, Lewis, it's good to see you, and so many, Sheldon and Debbie and Norton and Mike and Jim and Bruce and Linda. It's an honor and a privilege to come and be a part of tonight. You know, I did this for 14 years, and the Lord told me July last year, he says, you're getting ready to go through one of the most challenging years of your life. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to change, and you're not going to be able to handle the time and effort that it's going to require for you to do the chaplaincy work. So it's time for you to step down. And I'd already told Geiger and other folks, I said, when the day the Lord says it's time to step down, I'll give my notice. That day I gave my notice. And they said, well, who's going to take your place? And I said, well, I've got a couple people in mind. I said, but somebody's near and dear to me. Okay, it's Robert. And I said, he's got his doctorate now. He's studied. I said, we're not of the same spirit mindset, but we're of the same spirit and heart. And I said, he's going to bring a whole new people in, a whole new dynamic. It'll be different, but it's going to be good, and it'll grow and be even better, because the Lord said that. And I said, all right, Lord, and we took the steps. Now, a lot of you know, and Bruce and Linda particularly, because they've just edited a book that I've written. It's been a very challenging year for me. Physically, it's been one of my worst years of my life. I am 75, and I was an athlete, and I did everything from playing sports in junior high and high school, football, track. I was a boxer. I raced motorcycles. I raced mountain bikes. It was a long time ago, so it's not what they do today. You look at the day-to-day and think about those things. I said, no, we didn't, jump for us was 30 feet. Yeah, they go hundreds of feet now these days, and they go almost that much in the air at times. But I did, as so many athletes do, you get hurt. You get broken up. I had a mountain climbing accident and broke my back and my neck, and I've been rebuilt a few times. One of my doctors, that my primary care, he says, I would think you're a cadaver if you weren't talking to me. I said, well, it's grace. He says, how did you keep going? I says, grace. I said, God told me I'm going to do stuff, so I keep on doing it because God told me I'm going to. So I get up every day and thank you, Lord, keep on going. Along the way, I have been what is commonly referred to in the psychic world, in the New Age world, a sensitive. And I was. It was in my family. It was generations of being that sensitive or a seer. And many of them were labeled as witches and warlocks and were persecuted by the church. Others were ministers. They learned to keep their mouth shut, except around close friends. And I did a lot of the same thing. I got rejected a whole bunch, but I was in denominational ministry. I started out as Baptist, came into the Bible, independent Bible, came full gospel, and then where I am today, which is apostolic. So I've been ordained four times and in different denominations going, okay, where do we go here from here, Lord? I'd get up to the leadership, and it wasn't what I was after. I was looking for more. So along the way, the Lord told me, he says, I want you to go to Gloria Zion to sit under Chuck Pierce and Robert Heidler. They're teaching on the kingdom. And I was teaching on the kingdom at that time. That was back in 08. And I said, Lord, I teach on the kingdom. And he said, yeah, you got it wrong. Ouch. And he says, all about my kingdom. He says, matter of fact, if people taught about my kingdom instead of just trying to lead people to the Lord, you'd have more people in the church. I went, wow. All right. So I sat for years, and then I was under Kenneth Hagin. Many of you should know who he is. And I had a Rhema church. It wasn't a sanctioned Rhema church, but I did correspondence and got degreed and through that, licensed and ordained. And we had a good church. I loved that church. But when I was in the denominations, I would speak up and tell things that I'd seen, and people would run and scream. Or they wanted to hang me, you know, nail me to the church door. So I decided, okay, I'm just going to go with those that can receive. Well, along the way, I met a young man named Blake Healy, and this is on the 23rd that you'll see this. And Blake told his story at Gloria Zion, where I'm commissioned out of. At 3 years old, he started seeing, and he saw full time. Now, being a seer, not everybody sees full time. I don't see full time. I can sense full time, but I don't see full time. And when the Lord says he wants to show me something is when I see. And I met this young man who had been through living hell his entire life. He was labeled. He was cast aside. He didn't know what to think because he walked and talked with angels. Now, a lot of folks said, well, you know, that's not real for today. It's absolute for today. It hadn't changed one bit. He just happens to be one of those that God chose. And I got to talk to him after he gave his presentation at our church. And he had a book called The Veil. His name is Blake Healy. I recommend going online and getting the book, The Veil. And I pulled him aside and talked about his journey. And he'd been a seer all his life, you know. And he understood the problem that I had in keeping the gifts in the church closet instead of coming out. So as I was talking to him, he says, wait, let me tell you about a certain circumstance, and you'll get this. He's at a 2,000-member church. He's 28 years old at the time. He said he gave he talked about what God was doing, and then he said, I want everybody that wants to meet that Yeshua, that Jesus, to stand up, and everybody in the church stood up. I said, okay. And he says, and all of a sudden, Yeshua was standing right next to him, and I used the word Yeshua, not Jesus, but he said, now, Blake, this is going to shock you, but that's okay. And he manifested in front of all 2,000 people individually. Some people wept. Some people just were, you know, totally overwhelmed. Some people fell to their knees. Other people fell down in their chairs. Some people just sat there cross-armed and couldn't receive. And he was there for everybody. And then after a while, he pulled back into himself. And I said, that was his omnipresent. And he says, yes. He says, I asked him. And he says, that is my omnipresent glory. And I said, Lord, he said it. And I said, you know, I said at the same time, I said, that has got to be an incredible situation. He says, well, if you're going to do what you're doing, you're going to have that happen. And I had that happen. And along the way, in the past 4.5 years, maybe five, I asked the Lord, I'd asked the Lord to suppress the gifts. I said, Lord, I just need to know what you want me to hear, and that's it. And on this call, I would drop things. I'd drop things in the calendar. It would just give a paragraph or, you know, some stories. And, Lord, I ended up having to have major back surgery. My spine collapsed from years of doing the crazies that I did. And I had to have major surgery. And in the midst of the major surgery, he says, I'm going to give you new assignments. I went, okay. So starting in September of last year, new assignments start showing up. He says, you're going to be on these distinct prayer teams, and they're very small, intimate teams, and this is what you're going to do. And I went, really? I'm 74 years old at that time, and I'm going to be doing that? He says, yep. I said, okay, let's go. And after surgery, or actually I was in the hospital, just somewhat recovering. I was sedated some. He says, you're going to write a book. I says, you tell me while I'm in the hospital recovering that I'm going to write a book. He says, you're going to write a book about your experiences, and you're going to tell the people what you've seen. I said, okay. It took me till, I guess I'd started working on it, but it took me until April to really get it starting together. And then Bruce and Linda Dietler really helped me pull it together. And we're getting ready to go to publisher with it. And I'm going to endorse it. And I think you're going to be blessed. Well, I'm going to take you back to May 21st. This, you all talked about it a week ago, briefly. I think Bruce and Linda might have said something, but there was five of us, and this is one of the teams, okay? And we're praying, and we're from around the world, Okay, I work with Women's Glow. I work with pastors, ministers from all walks of life that are Spirit-filled believers. And we come together and seek the Lord and ask him for appointments. What do you want to say? What are you showing us today? What's going on? And he says, come up here. I'm going to show you, just like he did in the Word, just like he did with Paul, just like he did with John. He says, come up here. I want to show you something. And literally, you step in through an open heaven into the third heaven, in the spirit. You're still sitting in your living room or at your dining room table or whatever. And all of a sudden, you step into that presence. And it's you know, you're going to go through the reverence, the holiness, and everything that goes on, and the angels and everything's there. But he took the five of us into a place I'd been before. And it's called the Great Hall. It's a rotunda, and it's the Great Hall of the rotunda. And we sat at a table. I'm repeating this, but I want you all to get this because it's going to lead into where I'm going tonight. And before us, there was a quill pen like a calligrapher uses. And it had a feather on the end, and it was in the inkwell. And then there was a document, but we couldn't read it because it was in ancient language. But it was beautiful. It was on parchment. It looked like the Old Testament or New Testament, or it could have been the Declaration of Independence or any of those documents. It was just amazing. And we were looking at it and said, Lord, he said, I want you to sign this. I went, Lord, you won't have me sign anything on earth because of the work that I do, but I haven't read it and gotten a decent understanding. Will you at least, you wrote it, but will you at least let us see it? And all of a sudden, we could all read it. And the title was, but the heading was, it's a title deed. And I want a title deed. And the Lord said, it's the title deed to your hearts and to the earth. And I said, Lord, haven't we already given you our hearts? We wouldn't be here. He said, yes, but it represents the earth and the fullness thereof. And he said, my blood redeemed the land and my children. He says, the children of the world, didn't say his children, gave Lucifer a false deed of trust to many of the parts of the earth. And the earth cries out to be set free. With these signatures of my sons and daughters, the transfer begins. The kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of the Lord. So naturally, he said, sign. And I said, going, you know, just the five of us? I don't know. We sensed angels. We sensed presence around us, but we couldn't see. It was dark to us. All we could see was him and this table and this parchment. And we all signed it, and an angel picked it up, each one of us, and he went with his signet ring and embossed each one of them past our signature. And as soon as he lifted up his ring, it was in his blood. And now, you know, he's got our attention. He already had our attention. But then all of heaven opened up. We could see there were probably a million of us on that rotunda at tables. And Christ was standing in front of every table. Now, you know, folks, it's hard for a lot of folks to handle, but I'm just going to tell you what we saw. All of us saw it, okay? And all these intercessors from around the world were designing it. And the angels gathered them together, put them in a book, and it went into the library in heaven. And then Yeshua came back together and addressed all of us. And I said, who's been watching? And he said, it's the cloud of witnesses. And the angelic forces are all around you. So I looked up, and you can see angels everywhere. And those who sign over their hearts literally are signing the title deed, not just to their hearts, but to earth and the advancement of the kingdom. And instantly we realized that we were in not a current event, but a future event. And I said, Lord, when is this going to take place? Because there is no time in heaven. He can take you forward, backward. He can put you anywhere he wants to. And the Lord said, at Pentecost. I said, well, Lord, this is going to be very significant. And he says, this is the most important Pentecost since the upper room. I want you all to receive that. Many shall surrender their hearts, and the earth shall begin to shake like never before. And I did have a typo in there, forgive me. There will be signs in the heavens and earth, and there's going to be a shaking. It's like pulling weeds, because my wife and I have a garden, and pulling the weeds out, and you shake the good soil back into the garden, and you take the weed and you throw it in the burn barrel. He says, it's like shaking the good soil back to the earth. There's going to be a shaking, and evil will be exposed, and cast into the fire for judgment, and earth will be begin to be healed. Get ready for the greatest harvest that has ever begun. Now, this is what the Lord said. Now, I'm going to read you a couple things that really pull it together. CBN News just broadcast this afternoon. On Pentecost Sunday, as you all, you know, just celebrated. Now, because we do the Messianic, the Hebrew side, it was, you know, last week, as Robert's telling you. Thousands of believers across the nation made a public declaration of faith. And what organizers say was the largest synchronized baptism event in America and around the world. In the United States, 26,000 people were baptized. And it involves 650 churches in 50 states. That's the ones they're talking about in the oceans around. That young man who does that all the time in the ocean, they baptized over 2,000. Actually, it ended up being six because it was multiple places. And the prayer of Jesus and John, what John was, that we become as one, Mark Francais, one of the organizers, and I think that's what we're seeing today, a unity around the world, because that was just from the United States. It began with water baptism, and it grew to baptize California, which began 2 years ago with 4,000 people, and this year they baptized, here it is, 6,000 on Pentecost Sunday. In other parts of the world, that many and more were baptized. Guess what? They signed the deed and trust to their hearts over to the Lord. Now, we sit there and go, well, we see the shaking. You haven't seen anything yet. I asked the Lord the other day, I said, Father, you know, I'm still struggling to get in the total manifestation of my healing. I'm pressing through, and things haven't been what I really hope for in timing. He says, well, it's my timing, not yours. I said, yeah, I know. He says, but I'm shaking everything violently to unite my sons and daughters. Dutch Sheets came out yesterday. He said, if we don't come together and pray as the church, we'll lose the land and we'll go around the mountains and get it again. Now, that's kind of giving a little summarize of it. But the Lord said this, I am really shaking the Lord. This is from Lana Vosser. He says, I'm shaking everything violently with an intensity of the word with such love. The violent shaking will heal those who are mine and harm those who are not. Whoa. And you're going to see it. Take a look at L.A., what just happened. You know, thousands upon the street rioting. And Trump sent in the National Guard. You know, the governor out there refused to do it. He sent it in and kind of cleaned it up. And they're making arrests like crazy. And he's going forward with the, I forget what the act is called. Robert, maybe you know. But it's where he's enforcing martial law. And he's taking over the National Guard on a state level, which he has a right to do. Governor's protesting it, but he has the right to do it. It's in our Constitution. And what's lined up. All right, somebody's got me. I'm getting a major feedback of me. So, John 13:35, and he says, it begins like thunder surrounding sin spirit. Yesterday, it was 92 degrees here in just north of Fort Worth, Texas. At 5:30 in the evening, it hit San Antonio, moved up to Fort Worth. By 7:30, it was going north of us. Golf ball to baseball size hail with tornadoes. We've had more tornadoes in North Texas, Kansas, Missouri over the last 3 weeks than we've had in 3 years in that time period. California's on fire. Canada's on fire. Hawaii's volcanoes have just blown up again. In Italy, one of the largest volcanoes is blowing. And God is saying this. This is to all his people. He said, I'm shaking violently. And the shaking is getting ready to increase. For I say unto you, I'm dealing with the disunity and lack of honor and love in my church. Ooh. And I'm not raising up a bride that wars against herself, but I'm raising up an army of my people to know what is the love for one another and lay down their own lives for their brothers, John 15:13. And I say unto you, the fire of my conviction and the shaking of the mighty hand will increase in my church and bring forth the dross to be cast into the fire and healing to my sons and daughters. I'm going to increase the fire of conviction upon the hearts that is exposed to the Word of God. And I'm going to bring about those that have had bitterness, unforgiveness, judgment, pride deep in their hearts, and it's got to come out. If you're going to be my sons and daughters, you have to let it go. You have to repent. Robert and I and a couple others were praying about some circumstances recently that had taken place. And my comment to him, I says, go ahead and repent. Well, everybody can say, well, I didn't cause this problem. I says, no, you didn't. Diffuse it. Ask God forgiveness. And I says, we're going to break down what the enemy's doing, because the enemy's coming in to kill, steal, and destroy. Right now, today, seven ministers, many men of God, were talking, and they were saying about what Trump has to do. They says Trump and the whole Doge thing, and they're people are talking against each other. They're turning those that were on that team against each other, and it was because of the enemy coming in. It's Lucifer. Some people say, well, Trump and, Musk are, they planned this. Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, because it exposed the governor of California. It exposed other things coming forth. I said, the point is this, that we have to lay down our own lives and love the Lord. We got to love one another. And that doesn't mean the one world church. That means just a unity in the spirit that we're going to go forth, because the greatest commandments are that we love one another. He says, I'm bringing back my people to a great conviction of awakening to those of the greatest commandments that I've ever given you. I say that you'll be held accountable for the words that you speak. You'll be held accountable for the words of death that you've been shown. And Adam, my people, through your mouths and your tongues, you have the ability to bless or curse. I say unto you, there are many who are speaking words of death and dishonor. And I say unto you, I'm calling you to repent and turn from speaking words of death and words of judgment over one another, for you shall eat the fruit that flows out of your lips. So, and I talked to some people. I said, I want you to go talk to this person and just ask. Well, I didn't do anything. I said, I'm not asking you who started it. I just want you to go repent. And they said, you're repenting because of your attitude about it. I went, whoa, okay. Because God's saying he wants to reveal everything that's going on so he can heal deeper. So the whole perspective has to be shifted in how we're dealing with what God is saying, because he's exposing. So the shaking is not for the world. The shaking is for us. Are we going to be shaken or not? Are we going to shake loose from the junk? Are we going to be like that weed had to be pulled up out of my garden? And we shake off that good topsoil because we brought the topsoil in. We're in an area that has sandy loam, so you have to put topsoil on it to grow anything. So, you shake that good dirt back in there so something else can grow. And you get rid of what was wrong. Well, that's the same thing we are in our lives right now. And it all began Pentecost, the great outpouring. When people say, well, it's been building. Yes, but it happened again at Pentecost. The largest number of people to come to the Lord in modern history worldwide, it ends up being between India and China and other places, even the Muslims, is millions. Largest turning to the Lord in modern history took place this past Sunday and the previous, Pentecost. So he says, I'm shaking everything to violently, to expose the pride, expose the judgment, entitlement, areas of theft, of impurity, the junk and the filth that we're reading about that people just don't even want to imagine taking place, the theft of children and the sex trade. I mean, there's so many things. He says, my bride is going to be united because I'm moving forward to unite my people and bring about a oneness in me. Well, oneness in me is that you're going to be able to hear him, see him, understand him, because there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles in the heavens. It's going to be all around you. Heaven and earth collided. They've been together now for, started in 2017. Tabernacles. The Lord said, I have brought heaven and earth together. You no longer have to go through portals to get to me. You step into me. I went, wow, okay, and that's been happening. And we see it over and over again that the prophets are saying that. He's saying this. He says, he said, I'm coming back for a bride that is spotless. Wow. But that means that that bride will judge sin, but not the people. I go, well, Lord, that's a thin line. He says, yeah, it is. He says, you can't have unforgiveness and bitterness before me. You can judge the sin. And others hurt you, and I will heal you and set you free if you do this. There's a new wholeness of healing that is getting ready to break forth. There's a healing move of God. And many people get all excited, and I deal in technologies. My work is I deal in technologies. And I'm now, as of this past week, an ambassador to other nations for the MedBeds. And technologies that are off the chart. And I said, Lord, this could become something that's worshipped. How are we going to handle it? How do I present this? And he says, it's science. He says, yes, there's going to be those that worship that, but they're going to come to know that I'm the one that brought the healing. I said, yeah. I said, Lord, but it's going to be a major shift. He said, well, I'm coming to heal the hearts. And he says, there's going to be many conversions take place where they won't even get into bed before I'm healed them. I went, all right, Lord. So he said, I'm returning for a pure and spotless bride, Ephesians 5:27, my favorite book. And I'm returning for my bride who lives in oneness with me and one with one another and work in one accord, Acts 2:46. Well, you know, as he continues to shake violently, you know, everything can be shaken. The dross, everything is corrupt, everything is filthy, everything is bad is going to come to the surface. And we're going to say, is there any God? All we see is the filth. All we see is the hate. All we see is the perversion and the suffering and the time and the problems that are going on. And Lord, that's not what we imagined. That is not where we thought it would be at this time. He says, yes, I know. It's like when I said to him, Lord, I've seen my healing. I know I'm going to be healed. And he says, yeah, not at this time. I said, let me have it now. And he says, no. I said, why? And he says, because the time's not come yet. So a lot of times when you pray and pray and pray and you wonder why things don't happen, it has to be in his timing. That's why when he had me start doing the calendar and doing the Hebraic approach to it and the Hebrew perspective of where we are and involving the Messianic Hebrew rabbis that now love Yeshua and giving the perspective back in the foundation of the word, I went, Lord, this is the very fundamental root of where we are. And there's a saying to have Christian fruits. Okay, you've got to have Hebrew roots because we were pulled into his kingdom and he was practicing as a Hebrew. It was the form that he chose. Those were the people that he chose. But he, as we all know, he pulled us in. But he says, if you get an understanding of that, you'll better understand where we are today. I said, Lord, we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah ever was. Around the world, I don't know anywhere that's not as bad or worse. He says, yeah, but it had to get bad. It has to be exposed for it to get better, and it's getting ready to happen. I said, Lord, we need the signs and wonders. We need the presence. We need to know what has just happened and why and what we're to do. And he says, well, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to operate from up here, not down there. I went, how am I going to teach that? He says, you're going to get the God perspective. So we're going to pray tonight for the God perspective. He says, you're going to see as I see. There's going to be a time of communion with me like has not been ever before. And he says, I'm going to pull those that will seek after me to a place where they'll lack for nothing in me. They're going to have an abundance of revelation. And they're going to understand being seated with me in authority. There's going to be a oneness and a sonship. The greatest title in the world is not apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, general, president. It's son.
I mean, this is not Teller Tony. Bethany told me to get on this call.
And, you know, that's where we are, is getting to that point of sonship, that we're no longer orphans. We're sons and daughters who are fully accepted, fully empowered, and fully restored. And we say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, no, we're a work in progress. But that's who he's coming back for. And he's going to literally give us revelation of who he is, what he's doing, how he's doing it. He's going to renew our mind. He's going to help us get to the point where we're not striving. And we're not just servants, but sons. as sons and daughters, we'll get a whole new perspective. And we say, you know, we're called to be kings and priests, but the greatest call is son and daughter. And that's where we're headed today. That's what he's calling us to be, to shake off the old. Let that dross be thrown into the fire and be destroyed. And be replanted in him. Because he said he's coming back to reclaim the land. And I said, well, Lord, there's a metaphor in here. Because you always talk in multiple layers at the same time. I said, so you're reclaiming the land. The title deed, he says, the title deed is to your heart. He said, but where did you come from? I said, we came from the dirt. He said, that's right. And the soil cries out. The very dirt of the earth cries out. Abba, Father. And he says, so you represent the earth. You're not of the earth. You represent the earth. And he says, I'm reclaiming that which was mine, the good soil. Are you willing to go through the shaking? I said, absolutely. Let it shake. And he says, well, hold on, but I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm there, and it's going to be all right. So, Father, I come in the name of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua. I come and I thank you that this Pentecost was one of the greatest outpourings in the history of mankind. That more people, they say it's multiple millions, have come to the Lord this past 10 days. Celebrating this feast, celebrating the giving of the Holy Spirit. He said that heaven has rejoiced and angels have sang because sons and daughters have come back unto him and given their heart to him. The title deed to the earth, mankind, has been signed. And the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdoms of the Lord. And now, the greatest outpouring, the greatest harvest that's ever been in history. It was already going on, but the big push just happened. And it's getting ready to mushroom and roll over the enemy. Because there are signs and wonders that are terrifying. Oklahoma just said, we don't know that we can handle another week of hail and storms. There's no leaves left on the trees. It's gone through downtowns. It's gone through every imaginable place it can go. Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, all the way up, even gone as far as New York. And the winds are turning. And the dust is rising. And he says, watch what becomes of it. I said, okay, Lord. He says, the people are coming back together. They're crying out for me. So, Father, pour your spirit out upon us. Pour your spirit out upon us that we would press in like never before, that we'd be part of that great end time revival, that we would stand and decree and declare the goodness of the Lord, the healing. Lord, we're not supposed to be wishy-washy. We're supposed to know who we are and where we stand and standing on the word. And there's got to be a time of rebuilding. He said, but forgive, have mercy at the same time. You got to stand on the word because I'm coming back for the blood, the word, and the soil, my sons and daughters. I went, wow, okay. We're in a time and a season of a great, great move of God. And you look at what's going on around you in the heavenlies and you go, wow. As I was driving to therapy the other day, lightning hit 500 feet from me, a tower. It was a radio tower. And it was probably the size... We see it, and you know, we see it come down. We don't think it's that big. It was probably 20, 30 feet wide. Hit that tower and came down and hit the ground. There was no delay in the clap of thunder. It was instant because I was so close to it. And I got my attention, and he says, that's nothing. He says, the whole world is shaking. So, Lord, as you shake us, shake off the dross, shake off the filth, shake off the perversion, and help us come unto you and cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, it began at Pentecost, as you said. Many have seen it. But now is the time, and this is the season for the fullness thereof, that your glory be manifest, that you would refresh us, revive us, strengthen us. Let us recognize who we are, sons and daughters, bring us in to the fullness, Lord, just as Blake Healy and I and many, many others have seen you manifest. Manifest yourself in front of them. Manifest with angels. Manifest with your glory. Manifest with your light. Manifest with healing and signs and wonders and your great love, that you would be glorified. And I thank you for this in your name, in Yeshua's name. Amen. And thank you for giving me the time this evening.
Wow, Brother Wade. Wow, Brother Wade. I want to pick up on a couple of things to have you comment on if you can. The focus of the training that I have is our identity, each of us, our identity in Christ. And I heard you say that the Lord told you that we need to fight, come up here and fight up here. And that's exactly what Ephesians 2:6 says. And I'll kind of read it in context. So I'll go back to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. To me, that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, when he gave me the ability to see, and I've met now hundreds that see or hear. And, I mean, some have been labeled, they've been abused, they've been criticized. And most of them do what I did. They'll stay in the closet, church or otherwise, because they get tired of being beat up. And as a pastor, I said, well, I'll give this to my congregation and no more. I used it in the real world of business or and humanities and 501s and things of that area. And we would excel in a lot of these things. But I wasn't really giving it out to the church. He said, I want you to write a book. I want you to bring it back out. You need to tell people about your experiences. I said, Lord, there's going to be a lot that criticize, a lot that won't receive it. And he says, that's not your problem. He says, they're my responsibility. You just need to be obedient. And he says, those that get it and can receive are going to receive a glimpse of the kingdom, because you have the ability to come up and look at my perspective down rather than your perspective up. And he says, that's what my sons and daughters do. They need to join the cloud of witnesses. I said, okay, I'll just go tell them. It's not up to me for the results. I'm just going to tell them. And that's part of where we are today. We're closer than we've ever been. As I said, heaven and earth have collided. People think, you know, you go to heaven, you got to go through the Stargate portal and travel across 10 universes to get there. It's just like Christ, where he stepped through the wall. That is literally, we vibrate at different frequencies, and it's heaven's a different frequency than we are. And we just literally step into his frequency, and it's the most beautiful. You can't describe it. The colors, the people, the love, everything rejoices about him. Everything. C.S. Lewis had the right thing. It's like the book Narnia's. Everything talks. Everything's alive. It's absolutely incredible, amazing, beyond our comprehension. But he's saying, I'm going to do this to my sons and daughters. I'm going to allow them to see, hear, and know. So many of you write, you do incredible works and teach, but you've never been told this. Just like most churches, particularly denominational churches, and I've been ordained in three of them, so you know I can talk about this. We never taught anything about warfare. Dear God, the warfare that's going on, if you're not armored up and prepared in him through the Holy Spirit and the blood, it's I can't imagine it. I see what I do because I'm in the middle of these things. But for those of you that are not at that point, when you armor up in him, your whole perspective changes. and you'll recognize the enemy. I mean, it won't just because you sent somebody, they'll just flat be out. It's like all of a sudden the blinders are off of you and everything goes on around you. So when he says come up here, he wants to give us the heavenly perspective of what's going on earth.
Wait, I wonder whether we can talk a little bit about that collision. Heaven and earth has collided. The way I see what's happening in some of the controversy between folks is the recognition of seeing a spiritual force and mistaking it for a physical person or a physical activity. I wonder whether we can kind of talk through that a little bit.
I can give you an idea of what it's like being in that situation. This was 1998. It was September 18th. I'll never forget it. I had a church of 180 people, and it was a very different church. It was a blended black and white full gospel church, Anglo and black church. We had some of the best praise. Well, we only had 180. On a good Sunday, we'd pull 200 plus. On a Thursday night, which was our prayer nights, easily I had 50 people on Thursday nights. So I was getting out of my truck going into the church, and I had a bottle of water laying across the two handles of my briefcase, and I spun around, the bottle of water took off. And just out of it, I just blared out, "Where do you think you're going? Stop." And it was rolling downhill, and it stopped. I went, "What?" I said, "Get back up here." I didn't even know why I was saying it. It rolled uphill. Now, you all think that's weird. I picked up that bottle. I said, "Oh, my God, there's angels here." So I walked inside, and we started praying. And I said, "Well, the Lord's told me we're going to call for angels." And so I said, "I want you to go out, spread around in the church, get in different places, and just call out for the Lord. Those of you who speak in tongues, do that. Those that don't, just pray." Well, all of a sudden, there's this guy that comes through the door. Now, I'm 3.5 feet up on the platform, the stage platform, and he comes up to me, and his head is as big as my chest, and I'm a big guy, okay? And he's got 25-foot wings. He's got a 4-foot flaming sword in front of him, and I didn't know what to do. I said, "Are you for us or against us?" He says, "Neither. You asked. Father sent me." I said, "Will you pull those wings in and turn around and face that way?" And he did it. Now, he's head-to-head with me. I'm 6 foot, and I'm 3.5 feet up. So, and I pulled everybody back in. I said, "I want everybody to come into these first 5 rows. There's 10 seats in a row, and there are 52 people there that night." And I said, "I want you to do this. The Lord has said to start dispatching angels." And we didn't know what was going to happen. And I turned to him and I said, "Can they see me?" And he says, "Not yet." "Or see you?" And he said, "Not yet." I said, "Well," he said, "there's more coming." I said, "More coming." At that time, 6 from each side of the church stepped in through the windows and the walls, and they were young, old, Asian, black, Hispanic, European, every denomination look, every, 10 years old to 90 years old. And I said, "Who are these?" And he says, "These are ministering spirits that you entertain unawares." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, they're everywhere." I says, "What do we do?" And he says, "Send them on their job. They got jobs to do. Dispatch them." So I told everybody to start doing that. And then I said, "Lord, can you let somebody see all this besides me?" I had a black lady there who was in charge of prayer. Her name was Geraldine Lewis. And Geraldine, I was 60-something at the time. She was 10 years older, her and her husband. She stood up. Now, you got to remember, this is a black full gospel church. I called everybody up and I said, "What'd you see? What'd you get tonight?" And they, one said one thing, and pay attention to the pastor that. I said, "No, you didn't get it." Geraldine stands up and she says, "I don't know what's the matter at you people. There's been an angel about 12 foot tall standing right there in front of the pastor with 25 foot wings with a 4 to 6 inch flaming sword the whole time he's been in here, and he's sending angels everywhere." I went, "Glory to God, somebody saw him besides me." And I look at him and I said, I said, "You let him see you?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "They see your physical presence?" He says, "Yes." "Like I see you?" And he says, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, that I lease this place to the Messianic congregation tomorrow night and Friday, Saturday, for their Shabbat." He says, "Yes." I said, "Will you stay?" And he says, "That's no problem." So I had three or four people that actually ended up seeing him. Sunday morning after church, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I went to a Kroger grocery store to pick up something on the way home because I'm barbecuing that night. Two of the rabbis are in that same store. They walk out just as I'm heading. They're walking in as I'm heading out. Pastor Wade, Pastor Wade. I said, you saw him? And they said, yes, we saw him. I said, how many of you saw him? They said, eight of us. I said, did he talk to you? He said, yes. I said, did you see him physically? They said, yes. I said, anybody see him spiritually? He said, yes. I said, okay, we're on to something. That was the beginning back in 1998 when things started happening in my life. When you're in that heavenly situation, in the spirit, you are like a hologram. When you look in somebody's eyes, when you get close enough that you can make out each other what you're at, you know, who you are, when you look in each other's eyes, it's like you've connected your two thumb drives from each other's computer. You know everything about them. I've met people that I didn't know who they were, but I knew who they were. They knew who I was. I've met some of the matriarchs. I've met some interesting folks. And when you're with Yeshua Christ, you're in physical form because he's with you. So another incident, which is in the book, I'm at a place. I said, I want to see the tree of life. They let me go to the tree of life. I'm with Yeshua. And believe it or not, Enoch. I've met on multiple occasions, and I said, and this tree is the most enormous thing you've ever seen. The fruit looks like the size of Nerf footballs, and it drips of honey and oil. And there's a dome around it. You can see it, but it's transparent. And the four biggest angels I ever seen are standing guard. I said, why are they standing guard? And he says, you consider an honor guard. I said, okay. So I'm about 50 yards from this group of eight women and one man. He's about 6'4", 6'5". And he got all these women. And I look over and they turn around and they wave. What are you going to do? You're standing in heaven. You got Yeshua on one side. You got Enoch on the other. And this group turns around and waves. So we all wave back. So they turn back, do what they're doing. I turned to Enoch and I said, you know my friend Matt? He says, yeah. And he laughed. There's a lot of laughter in heaven. And he says, yeah, I know him very well. I said, tell him I was here and said hello. He says, I'll do that. Next morning, I called Matt. He's in D.C. I was in Houston. I said, Matt, I got to tell you something that happened last night. He says, where were you? And I said, I was in a heavenly encounter. He says, were you at the Tree of Life? I said, yeah. He said, see a man and eight women? He says, yeah. He said, Wade, that was me. He said, I turned around. He said, I knew that guy, but I wasn't close enough to make him out. But Yeshua was on one side, Enoch's on the other. We waved at each other, and then I turned back around because the angel was telling us about the tree. And I said, no wonder Enoch laughed. You saw him later. He says, yeah. He said, he told me that. You said that. Now, here's a guy that's in D.C. I'm in Houston. He said it happened at 9:34 your time. I said, exactly, because I was keeping track. Now, we have situations where we see them as in the spirit, and we can actually see them in the flesh, because I've seen them in the flesh multiple times. I've had other people say, there's an angel on each side of you. Do you see him? At the time, I said, no, I don't see him right now. But then later on, I saw him. He's calling everybody to see, to hear, to know. Now, your first encounter might just be here. Frances, my wife of 47 years, has been a very sensitive person. She had great discernment about people. And every time I go against what she thinks about somebody, I'm generally wrong. And, she could sense everything that was going on, but she couldn't see it. So another circumstances, we're sitting at one of these tables with the Lord, and I said, Francis, what's going on right now? She says, I'm holding his hand. I said, where am I? She says, he's holding your left hand, he's holding my right hand. She said, I got his left hand, you got his right hand. And I went, yeah. She says, he's talking to us, he's telling us all these things, he's answering all my questions. I said, yeah. I said, where are we? She said, we're sitting on his patio out back. Now, a lot of people go, this man's totally nuts. I tell you what, I've seen it. Whether you can accept it or not is not any concern of mine. I'm just telling you what he told me to tell you. It's real. Heaven is so real, and the manifest glory of it is beyond anything that you imagine. And when I say heaven and earth collided, earth looks like a softball in the ocean compared to heaven. Earth was designed after heaven. Okay, because he can manifest himself any size he wants to. Okay? But heaven is so massive. And I asked the angels at the garden, I said, how big is the garden? He said, it's as big as, so you'd have a relationship. It's as big as the United States and Canada together. I went, really? He says, yeah. I said, wow. And the sights and sounds. I would recommend buying Kat Kerr's books. There's many, many people that see angels all the time. Tim Sheets, Dutch Sheets' brother. He's got a book out. He just came out with a new one called Angel Armies. Bless your socks off, because he's talking about what's going on, what the angels have said, what he's been through this last year. It's been his worst physical year ever. It's been my worst physical year ever. And I said, why are you taking all of us that are in this realm? He says, because much has been given. I went, yeah. He says, my sons and daughters are in the furnace of affliction. He says, they're going to come out just fine. They won't even smell like smoke. He said, I'm with them, but I'm taking them through. I said, okay, Lord, I want to know, see, hear, and understand what you're doing. I want to be able to be a conduit. He said, that's what you're doing. Be a conduit. I said, okay. He says, not up to you whether they believe it. It's not up to you to do anything other than to tell them. I said, okay, Lord, I'll tell them. I gave something to Chuck Pierce last week, and I said, Chuck, you got to read this. And it tied in with Pentecost exactly. And he said, this is an incredible time. He says, Wade, I prayed for you yesterday. And I said, yeah, I know you pray for me. And he says, you're going to be all right. Everything's coming through. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, it hadn't happened on my timeline, but yeah, I know. We're going to press on. He says, yeah. He said, this is going to be the greatest year of the church up to this time. I said, all right. Let's go. And that's where we are. And we look around and we don't see it. We think there's too much going on. There's too much evil. There's too much, many problems. But he's saying the manifestation is coming. And it is here. And heaven has invaded earth. We are here now. The angels are here. You've seen them. The time is now. He says the manifestation is now. I said, okay, Lord. Because wickedness is so great. He says, when wickedness abounds, what abounds more so? I said, grace. He said, that's right. He said, my grace is just coming through like every portal. My grace is coming, being poured out. And armies, the enemy has got over a trillion here. And they don't even scratch the surface toward what the Lord's getting ready to do. Because parts of his armies are here. But we're in hand-to-hand combat, folks. If you don't know that, if you don't put on the fullness of armor every day, if you're not praying every day, if you're not getting some of the word every day, you're just going to be sitting in the stands instead of in the game. And I got to be in the game. I don't sit very well. Yeah.
So, Wade, for those who are new on this call, we take communion together each Monday night. And I'd like to give folks an opportunity to gather the elements, some bread and cracker or juice or wine. And I'd like to invite you, Brother Wade, to lead us. I will read a scripture in preparation for it. But I'd like us just to drink in what you've said as we listen to a piece of music and prepare our hearts.
We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. Worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. And with our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing.
So in preparation for Brother Wade leading us in communion, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to join us. I'm going to start at verse 17. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. He goes on a little later before he gives the, or after he gives the communion, he says, examine yourself. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the cup, eat of the bread, and drink of the cup. For if he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come.
Wow, wow. Glory. You know, I didn't finish the sentence a minute ago, and I need to finish it up because many of you are, we're all different ages. Like I said, Frances, who is with me, followed the Lord for 43, 44 years now on her side, and closer to 46 for me. She'd never seen him. And she saw him that day. And she'll never be the same. You can't deny it. She said, all of a sudden he opened her eyes and she saw him sitting there holding her hand, talking to her. She could hear him, but she hadn't been able to see him. And then she did both. And, you know, there's days that I mess up because of pain or other issues, challenges. And I come back to her and she says, yeah, but you've seen him. Yeah. Yeah. So in 1 Corinthians 3:18, it talks about, let no person deceive himself. Any man you suppose that he's wise in this age, let him become a fool. So I'm telling you folks, become a fool. Let him discard the worldly discernment and recognize himself as dull, stupid, and foolish without learning or scholarship, that he may become truly wise. The Lord is doing some things right now that have not been done before. He's manifesting himself that we, when we take communion, can literally partake of him in his presence. And like I said, that it's like in the book of Narnia, everything worships the Lord. The trees, the ground, the rocks, the water, everything worships the Lord in heaven. Everything's alive. And we are alive in him. And he wants us to come totally alive in him, that we can be in that place to be able to receive that which we've not received before without any preconceived ideas, to walk in the fullness. So, Lord, as we come tonight together to partake of the bread and the wine just as a symbol of your great love, of your mercy, of your outpouring, of your word and way and will, that we can see, hear, know, and understand you greater than before, I ask that, Holy Spirit, you fall afresh on everyone here. That as we partake, we literally would have our eyes, ears, and hearts open to that which you are, who you are, and that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Help us to learn our positional authority and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the Word. So, Lord, we partake of the bread representing your body. And Lord, as we take this communion, you said, do this in remembrance of you every time we come together. Whether you're drinking grape juice or wine, it does not matter. What matters is it represents the Holy Spirit and the blood. It represents you. That we're washed by it, renewed by it, filled by it, empowered by it. That we're recognized in the spirit realm by it. So Lord, take this drop representing your blood. And change out our blood for your blood. That it's not we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And that we are seen everywhere we go as sons and daughters of the Most High. That your glory be manifest. And let joy come every morning. And I thank you for that. Partake of the fruit of the vine.
Now give a shout back.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Wait, I want to bring up two other things if I can here. One is for those of you who are not on the Republic Wire, you may know that Gene Hertler's grandson was hit on his bicycle and has been in critical condition. The news today, for those of you who don't already know, is that Gene's grandson, Soren, is out of ICU, off the ventilator, and got moved to pediatrics. He's awakened, went to the bathroom, and wants to go home. We truly have a miracle. So keep praying. His skull fracture still has to be completely healed. And praise God for a seven-year-old, the skull is still soft and pliable. Brother Wade, do you want to share what we were sharing before the call, maybe a thumbnail of that with folks? Or is that not appropriate? It's totally
Well, you know, you bring it up. You start it. Let me see what the Lord's going to say to me about it.
Okay, very good. So I was many of us in the Republic have been in prayer for Soren, and Wade told me before the call, he said and some of you were on it. He said, yeah, in my book, I tell the story of my daughter, who was 8 at the time. She was hit, wasn't she, Wade, and went like 30 feet in the air or something?
Oh, yeah, she went 40 feet, broke her back in 3 places, fractured her skull from the front of the, right above the eye, left eye, to the, all the way to the back, and severed all but the bone and one side of her right leg.
And what I want folks to take away from that is how you took authority of the situation at the hospital, and you basically told the doctors what the outcome was going to be. You want to share what that was?
on the way there, the Lord told me she was going to be all right. She was going to come home, and I says, "Your home or mine?" He says, "Yours." I said, "Okay," and I saw her. In the future, dancing. I saw her becoming a woman and having children. So I got there, and they were going to take off her right leg. She had she had many staples in her head. They gave her little or no chance to living. Her right side of her brain, her left side of her brain, was totally black from the bruising. And they said she'll be a vegetable the rest of her life. You know, you might want to just pray and let her go. And I says, oh, no, I've already seen her. And I turned around and I said, if any of you touch her anymore, I'm going to sue every one of you. I turned to the hospital administrator and I said, I want you to get the best you've got. I says, I need somebody that specializes in vein and artery. I need a specialist in nerves. I need a plastic surgeon. I need an orthopedic surgeon. And I said, my daughter's going to come home from this hospital in 3 days. And they all thought I had three heads at that point. I said, I've seen it happen. And I was trained for stage. So when I yell, you could hear me, you know, half mile away. And I think the hospital four down could hear me. And within a half hour, we had the best of the best. And she had hundreds of stitches inside her leg, micro stitches, pulling muscles and nerves and arteries and veins back together. You know, she was on IVs to try to keep her alive. And they couldn't give her anything for pain. I didn't tell you this. Because of the head injury. And she's screaming, Daddy, Daddy. She can't see because her eyes are swollen. Why are they hurting me? I said, you're going to be okay, baby. It hurts right now, but you're going to be okay. In the room, she was put in with three other little girls. All three of them died within 2 days. But I had a praise tape and had Kenneth Hagin healing scriptures on. And as long as it played, she was cognizant. She was actually sitting up in bed. I said, let me show you something. I disconnect the tape, turn it off, and she'd start going down. She'd go back and slip into a coma. And we had 15 nurses, doctors in that watching this at one time. And they said, we don't know what you're doing, but you keep on doing what you're doing because what we're doing is not working. So I put that tape back on. She came back around. They put her in a private room the next day. And then we went home on the third day. She was riding her bike 2 days later. And the vegetable that they said she was going to be, she ended up being, by the time she got to high school, we had homeschooled her for years to get her. She lost 5 years of memory. But she became the captain of the cheerleaders, the volleyball team, the basketball team, the track team, president of the student body in 11th grade and 12th grade. And has accomplished incredible things. She is a seer. She's seen angels and the Lord, and she's seen the Lion of Judah manifest as the lion, and she's seen the bride. And my grandson has also picked it up. So it's really interesting when we all get together because we kind of look around, people go, what are you looking at? And I said, we couldn't tell you you wouldn't believe us if we told you, you know, but it's quite incredible what the Lord did in her life. But I had to take a stand because if I would have gone with what they said, they would have taken her leg at the thigh. They would have had her in a body cast for up to 5 years because of the way the back was broken, but got healed at all within days. They took all the stitches out on the 10th day and they said, we can't imagine taking out hundreds of stitches and clamps. And I said, well, that's God.
Yeah. Wow. Wade, what would you say to folks? Will you talk a little bit about, I know that Bruce and Linda have been editing your book. Will you tell folks the name of it, when to expect it, and what the story is? I mean, don't tell me the whole story, but just like the elevator pitch. When a person picks up your book, what can they expect on their journey?
Well, that's interesting. It's the name of it's The Harvest Seer, Ascending to See a King, and it's pulled from the notes of an international prayer team of men and women. I have five contributing authors, plus I quote a bunch of others in there. And I tell you what, Bruce, you were so gracious in what you've done. Why don't you give a perspective on it? You cleaned it up for me. You're invaluable.
I could only clean it up, but it was excellent. it's awesome. Again, from the standpoint, my calling is that of a teacher, so I'm not in the seer realm. Linda is a seer, but for me, reading and going through, getting understanding of there is so much more that I have not apprehended that God has available. And it is a book that will encourage anyone to seek that deeper walk, the higher walk with the Lord, and really, really to elevate very, very good material. He shared quite a bit of it this evening, but many, many more stories in there, and this is only volume one. More to come. Good stuff.
Man, Jean wrote an incredible. She was just coming through what she went through with David, you know, and having an aneurysm and losing half his memory. And then she had just spent several weeks in the hospital with double pneumonia. And I called her up and I said, Jean, it was the first week of February. And I said, I need to talk to you. And we prayed a little bit. And I said, I need you to look at a manuscript. And she says, Wade, I can't read anything. I'm so beat up and so down. I can't even hold my head up. I said, well, this is going to change that. God's going to use it to shift things in you, to bring encouragement that he is. And will you read it? And she says, well, he told me right after Christmas you were going to write books. And I said, books? And she said, yeah. And she wrote an incredible foreword to that. And she says, go ahead and start the next one. This one's just getting ready to get out. So it'll probably be on Amazon in about a month. And then it'll be in, you know, other forms soon thereafter. The endorsements are written by Barry Wuntz, who's the Canadian Hammer, and Gene and David Hertler and John Rockwell. And Gene and David didn't write a foreword to it. They basically helped me write the book, and I give them credit for their editing. Dr. Marlon McMillan, and I'm waiting for Chuck Pierce's endorsement. It is packed. And I think it would bless anybody that's willing to look at it and receive it. It does tell my story. It tells my background, so you have a better idea who I am and where I've come from. And it puts in there the gory details. You know, I didn't have a pretty life. But God, and how he delivered me from hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and the battles that I've had to fight along the way. And it talks about 30 encounters with heaven and the Lord out of hundreds. And I never imagined that I was going to write anything about this at all. But if you've seen a calendar, you get an idea what it's going to be like. That's kind of what it is. It's prophetic from my perspective and the perspective of five of those people that have been on some of those journeys with me. And we'll see. We'll see what the Lord's going to do. But I hope to have it, like I said, I hope to have it at least into Amazon within 30 days, because they actually do short printing. They get 90% of the money, but from a book, but they can get things out quickly, and then I will be having it printed. And I think it'll bless you, and I already have started the next one.
Well, I'd like to pray over you, Wade, and your book, and I'd like to invite, they don't know this yet, but Mike and Janik, I know you are with Gene and David for the Memorial Day weekend. I'd like to invite you to close us out in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Brother Wade. I thank you, Lord, for the work and the calling you have upon his life. Lord, we speak healing, full restoration, full wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken as he comes back to full health. We thank you, Lord, that it's in your timing, but I sense that timing is soon. Lord, you've got him as an ambassador for the med beds, which is such an important key to breaking free of the American Medical Association, the pharmaceutical companies, and the bondage they've had us in for years in terms of new technology and breakthroughs in sectology for health. So Lord, bless him in his work with the med beds and bringing it to the people at a speedily and an affordable price. Lord, I just thank you for my brother. He's such an inspiration on so many levels. I thank you for the work he's done amongst us in the Republic. I thank you for his continued work. I thank you for his way showing for folks to recognize the goodness of God, the hope of what that kingdom, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You've given him the ability to go to heaven, to share with you, commune with you in the heavenly, seated in heavenly places. expand that. Let that blessing radiate out to all those who hear him, those who read his book that's coming up. And just bless his family. Bless Francis. Bless his kids and grandkids. And Lord, we just give you praise and glory and honor for our brother. In Jesus' name.
Thank you all for giving me time this night. It's good to see so many of you here again, and what a blessing.
Wow. I love you, brother. You're awesome. So if I can unmute Mike and Janik, it's not letting me do that. There you go. Okay, gotcha. You have the floor. I've unmuted you on the board, Mike. It's up to you. All right. As Mike's not answering, Alyssa, you get the floor because I
Hello?
Just...
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. There you are.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right.
All right. Sorry. Almighty God, we thank you for this meeting and the opportunity to come together. We are grateful for the insights shared in a spirit of collaboration. As we leave, we ask for your guidance in implementing our plans and for the strength to overcome any challenges. May our actions be guided by your wisdom, and may we always seek to serve others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.